We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
On the way, hit it hard, rebound, bat it around. It's taken by Luka. He hits! He hits! With a second to go as he hits the deck. Tied at 115. It worked! It totally worked!
10 assists, 21 rebounds, 47 minutes played. And now 60 points for the first time in Mavericks history.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic, and you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in to another episode of Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. You can find me at Dalton_Trigg on Twitter. Woo, y'all, what a weekend. What a Sunday. I'm still kind of trying to recuperate from everything that went down over the weekend. For those of you who haven't been able to check it out yet, go and listen to what I call an emergency pod. A lot of people call them emergency pods. But, you know, the Mavs, they went out, they shocked the NBA landscape, shook everything up at least a little bit by trading for Kyrie Irving. According to our guy Mark Stein, the Mavs tried to get him without including Dorian Finney-Smith in a deal, but the Nets, they just, if the Mavs were going to win, you know, win the sweepstakes, so to speak, over the Lakers, Phoenix Suns, or Clippers, then they were going to have to include Dorian Finney-Smith alongside Spencer Dinwiddie and, you know, a first-round pick and 2 second-round picks in order to get Kyrie Irving. So, Kyrie Irving, Dallas Maverick, pretty wild. Now, I mean, as we mentioned the other day, a move like this does not come with any shortage of risks, but it's a move that I've been saying for a couple weeks, really longer than that, you know, back in the summer when he became available. It's a move that the Mavs needed to make based on, you know, how far his value has slipped, you know, over the last few years. Because when it boils down to it, Kyrie Irving is an all-NBA talent. He checks a lot of boxes as far as on-court play for what the Mavs need. They needed, you know, a true co-star next to Luka. He can be that for sure. He won a championship with LeBron James in Cleveland doing that. They needed the secondary ball handling, or really the primary ball handling when Luka's not on the court. That's another thing you don't have to really worry about as much now either, because, you know, if Luka rests, you don't have to worry about the offense just completely going down the drain and teams making monster runs when Luka has to rest. So, as many have pointed out, the defense is a concern. But look, I don't want to overblow that part of it either, because let's not sit here and, you know, act like the Mavs haven't had the 27th worst defense in the league over the last couple weeks, and I think it's like 23rd or 24th out of 30 teams overall for the entire season. So, I mean, look, I get it. Last year's team was pretty solid defensively. This is not the same defensive team this year. So, and one of the main things that have kind of that has kind of held the Mavs back defensively is Maxi Kleba being out for so long, who is usually a an anchor in the paint. So we'll still have to see how he comes back from that hamstring injury. He's supposed to be back either right before the All-Star break or right after the All-Star break. Either way, it is a lot sooner than what many people thought. And then another thing too, and I try to word this delicately because I don't want people to think I'm taking any shots at Dorian Finney-Smith. I'm not. Anybody who has followed me over the last handful of years knows how much I love and enjoy Dorian Finney-Smith on and off the court. Great dude. His story is fantastic. Undrafted 2016 out of Florida. The Mavs pick him up. He struggled his first couple of years, but he slowly but surely improved. And then next thing you know, in 2022-23, he's one of the better 3-and-D wings out there. So congrats to Dorian for carving out a heck of a career for himself after, being undrafted and kind of beating the odds there, so to speak. So everybody knows how I feel about Dorian. Now, with that being said, before I even thought it was possible that the Mavs would consider trading him this season, and you can ask, people I talk to daily about this, but I've been of the opinion all year that he had, started to kind of lose a step, at least from where he was last season. He is one of the Mavs' better defenders for sure, or most versatile defenders, I should say, because he can guard any position, 1 through 4, and maybe some fives, depending on, depending on who the five is. So, very versatile defender. But I just feel like this year, specifically, he had started to lose a step there. And again, I don't want that to come off as me, downing Dorian or being rude or just using it as a reason to justify the trade. I'm not. These are things I thought well before this trade ever happened. What this really means, and, if he hasn't taken a step back or, hasn't lost a step, so to speak, I think what it more says is Josh Green's development this year has kind of made us think that way about Dorian. Because, I know Josh Green doesn't have the overall size that Finney-Smith does, but I do think that Dorian has kind of taken over as like the more, the more consistent defender, especially on the perimeter. And, Josh Green, he's now likely, well, I say likely, it probably depends on what happens with Tim Hardaway Jr., but, there's a good chance that Josh Green is going to be a full-time starter going forward, if not right now, in the very near future. So, I don't know. I've seen a lot of doom and gloom scenarios from people saying that, oh, the defense is just going to fall off and Kyrie's going to be a disaster like he has been in every other stop of his career and yada, yada, yada. Look, I'm not going for that. This is a move that everybody wants to talk about. Oh, the Mavs, they have so many limited assets and there's no way they can outbid, teams with all these different picks and young players. If a guy like Kevin Durant or Pascal Siakam or, some of these other guys that could potentially come up in a trade, Zach LaVine and all that, everybody said, oh, well, the Mavs can't outbid any of those teams that want to get those players if they become available. Guys, that was before this Kyrie Irving trade happened. So even when the Mavs had Spencer Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith, and the prospect of having all of their picks to trade this upcoming summer, people were still saying that the Mavs would be severely outbid for those players. So, I mean, what are we doing here? Now all of a sudden, there are some people out there that think that the Mavs were championship contenders as currently constructed, and all of a sudden, Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie were going to be, you know, the key pieces to landing, another star player without any blowback or without any other teams having better offers. Come on. I mean, I think that's just kind of building a narrative to make people panic. And I don't think we're looking at this, you know, rationally. I don't think they're looking at this rationally. So, it is what it is. I admit that the Irving trade comes with risk. We know that. I also admit that, or point out, that he hasn't been in a situation like this before, where he has key guys at every single level of the organization that he respects. We know he respects Luka. He's had nothing but good things to say about the guy. I think once he starts playing with him too, he's going to realize, like, hey, you know, this is a very similar player, you know, to who I was playing with in Cleveland and LeBron James. Slightly different, obviously, but, you know, same kind of concept there. So he on the court, he knows, he respects Luka. He has a relationship with Theo Pinson. I know people hate hearing that because Theo, he's kind of become like a mascot-like figure for the Mavs, and people don't really like roster spots being used for something like that. But, you know, it is a fact that he has a relationship with him. Theo Pinson and Kyrie Irving were seen chatting it up and sitting together in Las Vegas Summer League last summer. So you got that going for him with, like, the on-the-court stuff. And then a level up from that, you've got guys like Jason Kidd and Jared Dudley, you know, who Kyrie has a level of respect for. I'm not saying what Kyrie did in previous stops was right, but I'm saying that one of the things that apparently contributed to some of the issues was the fact that Kyrie did not respect or didn't have the appropriate level of respect for the people in charge coaching. So I think that's going to work in his favor. I think that's going to work in the Mavs' favor in this. And then on the upper management level, Nico Harrison. His time with Nike as the vice president, he worked closely with Kyrie on his shoe deal that he had there. There's a good existing relationship with Kyrie Irving and Nico Harrison. I think there's a good setup, a good infrastructure for Kyrie to succeed in Dallas. He is something the Mavs desperately needed if he can stay healthy and focused. And I'm excited to see how it goes, guys, because, you know, we know how good this team was, with Jalen Brunson in the mix playing next to Luka. This is a completely different animal. Say what you will about Kyrie Irving, this dude is a baller. This dude is going to be a game changer for Dallas playing next to Luka, if he can keep his head in the game, because this is just something that we're in uncharted territory as Mavs fans. We 2 all-star starters, they have a duo averaging 60 points per game. You know, they're still, and that's the thing too, people are freaking out about the defense and, you know, other aspects of the roster going forward. And we still have...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Let's see. The trade deadline is Thursday, so we essentially still have a little over 3 days left until the trade deadline. This isn't over just yet. Multiple reports have said the Mavs are likely not done making trades. You know, they and you guys know this from all the daggum rumors that have been coming out over the last handful of weeks. I mean, this isn't the same Mavs front office from years past where everything is so tight-lipped. You know, that things don't leak out. Those days are over. The Mavs are very much in conversations with other teams and trying to make stuff happen. And, you know, the rumors that used to always be shot down left and right by Cuban, now all of a sudden he is, you know, he's not shooting down rumors like he used to. So I think that just speaks to the level of activity that's going on in this front office. And look, say what you will about the trade for Kyrie Irving. You have to admire how aggressive and, you know, how straightforward Nico Harrison is in trying to, you know, make big splashes and trying to do what he can to make a championship contender for Luka Doncic. So I applaud him for not sitting on his hands and for going out there and outbidding the Lakers and the Suns and the Clippers for Kyrie Irving. Let's see how it goes. Some interesting notes. And also, guys, I had originally planned to have my guy Grant Afseth on here. I will still have him on either Tuesday or Wednesday. But we are actually sending him. He's going to Los Angeles. He'll be there for the Mavs-Clippers game on Wednesday, which will likely be Kyrie Irving's Mavericks debut. And Luka Doncic should be returning to action then too, or at least we hope. But we're Grant will be out there for that one and for the rest of this road trip. He'll be going to Sacramento after that for the back-to-back with the Kings. So great stuff coming from Grant. He's also got a Kyrie Irving film room in the works for DallasBasketball.com. The rest of us have stuff planned as well throughout the day. So stay tuned to DallasBasketball.com and all the stuff that's coming up today and the rest of this week. And, I mean, if you missed anything from Sunday and the Kyrie Irving earthquake before the trade deadline, go to DallasBasketball.com and just scroll down that homepage. We have every single angle covered. And again, I'm going to try to have Grant on here in the next day or so, if he can squeeze it into his schedule. So a couple different notes, some aftermath notes from the Kyrie trade. Our guy Mark Stein said that the Mavs tried to trade Christian Wood to the Nets. Either Christian Wood or, as Stein put it, one of its less desirable long-term deals of either Tim Hardaway Jr. and Davis Bertans, but the Nets, they weren't having that. Wood is attracting trade interests from the Los Angeles Clippers, according to Stein. And let's see. My just looking at the Clippers roster, there's really only a couple of different scenarios that work. I think Wood for Robert Covington straight up would work. And I think Wood for Marcus Morris straight up would work, which would be absolutely hilarious if that ended up being the deal, because the Mavs just traded for not only Kyrie, but they got Markieff Morris from the Brooklyn Nets. So if the Mavs came out of this trade deadline with both Morris twins, given their recent their past history with Luka, that would be pretty funny, not gonna lie. Do I think that's enough to get back for Christian Wood? No. Do I think that's something they might have to settle on for Christian Wood? Maybe. Because Tim McMahon said on a recent podcast that, you know, the market for Wood just isn't what you would think it would be. One team that I'm kind of keeping an eye on that could be kind of a sleeper, and maybe not a sleeper, maybe somebody's mentioned them, you know, as a Wood suitor, but I feel like the Charlotte Hornets could be a sneaky Christian Wood trade partner before the deadline. So that's one team I'm keeping an eye on there. Another situation that would be nice, and it hasn't been rumored or anything, but you know, if the Mavs could somehow work out a trade with the Chicago Bulls, you know, something that sends back, and I don't know what the salary filler would look like to make it work, because I know it wouldn't work with just these two players, but given the Mavs' needs now, you know, if they could get Goran Dragic and Andre Drummond from Chicago, and then salary filler, whatever makes the trade work out, that would be something optimal to look at. You look at the New York Knicks, you know, if they're just dead set on trading Derrick Rose to a better situation, as they've claimed to be, the Knicks, that is, you could do something where, you know, the Mavs have already been linked to Cam Reddish over the last handful of weeks, so maybe you do something where it's like Christian Wood and Reggie Bullock for Cam Reddish and Derrick Rose, you know, something like that. Not ideal. I mean, obviously, since you traded a first-round pick to get Wood, you'd like to get a first-round pick back for him. He's averaging, you know, nearly 20 and 10 a game, so that would be nice, but, you know, there's just not much you can do with a guy on a expiring contract that you haven't been able to work out an extension with. So that's the concern there. It's like, if you can't get an extension worked out, you're going to have to do something to where you get some kind of value before he initially walks for, or potentially walks for nothing. And some people will say, well, I'd rather just wait it out and just see how the rest of the season goes, because, you know, a potential big three with Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic, and Christian Wood is pretty enticing. Not defensively, but, you know, pretty enticing offense. Like, who's going to outscore the Dallas Mavericks if all three of those guys are firing on all cylinders? So, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but a potential starting lineup of Luka, Kyrie, Josh Green, Maxi Kleba, and Christian Wood sounds pretty formidable to me. And then you could also, you know, swap in Reggie Bullock in there as needed, depending on how he's playing. But you know, there's options here for the Mavs. And then also the Tim Hardaway Jr. stuff. You know, he's been in a handful of trade rumors. There's probably going to be something happen there over the next few days. So we'll just have to keep an eye on it. This roster could look significantly different from what we've been used to over the last handful of years by the time Thursday's deadline comes and goes. So, guys, I appreciate y'all joining me on this early Monday morning. Just wanted to give some more reactions to the Kyrie trade. Some other stuff that I didn't mention on our breaking news pod that came out after the fact. Apparently, Joe Tsai, the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, was not going to send Kyrie Irving to the Lakers no matter what. It was a very petty thing, but it was a thing that I admired and thought was very funny. he was not going to send Kyrie to LeBron and the Lakers no matter what, which is hilarious. Another thing, Luka ran, or the Mavs ran this trade past Luka and got his approval for it, because, you know, as much as Luka loves Dorian, he knows that he can't keep up this monster pace without having some physical breakdown issues in the long run. So even if there's a chance for him to have a guy that can carry the load when he's not in there and keep the Mavs afloat and give them a chance to potentially win a championship, you got to take that chance. Luka knows this. That's why he signed off on the trade. And hopefully it pans out for him, because the West is wide open this year, and I honestly think that, you know, this team, the ceiling for this team is NBA Finals now, because they've got the star talent. They've got some really good pieces around that star talent, even though they could use a few more pieces for depth. But I am super excited to see where this team heads in the last 28 games of this regular season and into the postseason. So buckle up. Let's enjoy the ride. We are right in the thick of it, y'all. This is something that hasn't, I feel like we haven't had this level of excitement with the Mavs since, and I mean, the KP trade was pretty surprising and exciting at the time, but I feel like there were a lot more concerns with that because KP hadn't really proven himself to the extent that that Kyrie has. Now, I know Kyrie has missed a lot of games over the last handful of years, but, you know, as far as just, you know, proving what he can do and being a number two on a championship team, they beat that the Cavs beat that 73-win Warriors team in a seven-game series. I believe it was the 2016 finals. So, I mean, there's just a lot more – there's a lot more substance. There's a lot more – looking at examples like, hey, this could really happen. It's not just like theoretical. It's like, okay, we know what this guy can do. It's just a matter of keeping him on the court and keeping the drama to a minimum off the court. So I'm excited. Can't wait to get it going. Wednesday night, the late night tip-off at Crypto.com Arena against the Los Angeles Clippers should be Kyrie Irving's debut, and we could have Luka back as well, and it'll be fun. We'll see what kind of dynamic Kyrie brings to this Mavs team that has kind of struggled against the Clippers this year. So it'll be interesting to see how that one goes. Guys, appreciate it. Please go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Please go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That really helps us out, and you know, it keeps us up there in the ratings on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, to where more people can come find and listen to us. So we greatly appreciate that. It also enters you for a chance to win our Luka Doncic City Edition Metroplex jersey that we'll be giving out during All-Star Weekend. Our guy Grant Afset, that I mentioned earlier, who's going to be on the rest of this Mavs road trip, we are likely getting him to NBA All-Star Weekend as well. So there's a lot of stuff going on at DallasBasketball.com that's going to be worth you guys paying attention to, in addition to future podcasts and that jersey giveaway. So appreciate it, y'all. Y'all have a great rest of your Monday. Let's have a good week. We'll see you tomorrow.